There are towns that seem like the perfect place to live. Small communities where everybody knows each other and church bells ring loud every Sunday. On the surface, everything seems idyllic, and residents believe they live in one of those towns where that could never happen here. Except, it could happen there, and it did. This is Monsters. John Lawson was born on August 12, 1978 in San Francisco, California. Not much is known about his early life, but at some point, John and his mother moved to Clemens, North Carolina. Most of what John would end up telling other people about his past would turn out to be lies, but the people that knew him personally said that he displayed many red flags, including drug use and harming animals. His mother would later say that he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia and agoraphobia. Due to the cost of proper treatment, John's mental illness went mainly unchecked. In 2002, John changed his name to Pazuzu Algarad. Pazuzu is the name of the Mesopotamian demon who possessed 12-year-old Regan McNeil in the movie The Exorcist. With his new scary moniker, Pazuzu covered his face in tattoos and began separating himself from society, especially in the town he lived in. Clemens was known to be a very Christian town, and his appearance and poor hygiene would have been enough to turn the residents off. But Pazuzu also started worshiping Satan. After the 9/11 attacks, Pazuzu could be seen dressed in Middle Eastern clothing, anything that shocked and appalled the rest of society around him. Friends said that Pazuzu lived a carefree life where you could do whatever you wanted when at his house. One of Pazuzu's friends, David Adams, said that people could piss on the carpet or smash the TV while there, and Pazuzu didn't care. Of course, a little urine wasn't a big deal to Pazuzu, as he was known to only bathe once a year. He claimed that bathing and brushing your teeth stripped your body of valuable defenses that would ward off infections and illnesses. Though brushing his teeth seemed to be a no-no, filing them down into a point was apparently fair game since he had done that to himself one day while high on meth. His home was covered in filth and filled with weapons, and he used the free-range style to draw young people in and join his group. Whether it was a cult or a commune isn't clear, but Pazuzu did have what some refer to as followers, and it makes sense because he was giving them a place to go where they could do whatever they wanted and not be judged. Like any other cult leader, Pazuzu used his position to lure in women and was known to have two girlfriends who he referred to as his fiancées. They were Amber Birch and Crystal Matlock. One of the people in Clemens who crossed paths with Pazuzu was a man named Josh Wetzler. Josh was born on March 3, 1977 and grew up in Virginia, but was eventually living in Olympia, Washington when he met Stacy Carter while she was traveling in the area. The two hit it off and eventually started traveling together before moving to North Carolina. Their shared love of horses saw them buy some land with the plan to turn it into a training center where they could rehabilitate horses. Not long after Stacy got pregnant with their son, they lost the farm in a bad deal with a bank, and the stress caused their relationship to end. Stacy started working with horses on a different farm, but Josh started making ends meet by selling drugs. Now, Josh wasn't peddling anything hard, just marijuana and mushrooms, but when his house was raided one day and the authorities found a package of psychedelic mushrooms that someone had mailed to Josh, they arrested him for felony drug trafficking. With that felony on his record, he was unable to find a job after he was released, and the downward spiral continued. That downward spiral took Josh into the personal circle of Pazuzu Algarad. In July of 2009, Josh spent time with Stacy, their son, and some other friends at Stacy's house, and that was the last time she heard from him. At first, she assumed he was just laying low to avoid law enforcement, but when he missed his mother's birthday and then didn't contact his son for Christmas, they knew something was wrong. Stacy reported Josh missing on February 15, 2010. When Stacy talked to the authorities, they informed her that they had found Josh's car with the key still in the ignition, sitting in a parking lot 7 months prior. They didn't report the find to his family or investigate his disappearance. Like many monsters who get off on the thrill of killing, Pazuzu and his fiancées were not quiet about what had actually happened to Josh. They openly told people that they had locked Josh in the basement and starved him for days. They claimed to have tortured him, cutting off body parts before shooting him in the head. Pazuzu and Crystal proudly told people that there was a body buried in the backyard like it was a badge of honor. At some point, Pazuzu told a neighbor that he had shot someone with a shotgun and the body was in his basement covered in cat litter. People never really believed Pazuzu because he had a history of bullshitting. Most people thought the stories were a way to seem tough or scary. The neighbor, Tarina Billings, eventually had a change of heart, and on August 3, 2009, 6 months before Stacy would report Josh missing, she went to the Forsyth County Sheriff's Department. She told them that there had been a murder at Pazuzu's house, and so a deputy went there, asked Pazuzu if it was true, and he said no. When they asked if they could search his house, he said no again, so the deputy left. No further investigation was conducted. On September 24th, authorities received an anonymous call claiming Pazuzu had shot a man at his home and buried him in the backyard, but they ignored the tip. It wasn't until Stacy reported Josh missing that authorities got a search warrant to search Pazuzu's house on Knob Hill Drive in Clemens. Unfortunately, they didn't find any evidence that a crime had occurred there. Investigators claimed that they used cadaver dogs to search the property, but nothing can be confirmed because they ended up sealing the search warrant. What actually happened during that search is unknown, and it seems authorities want it that way. Having the police come to the house and leave without finding anything seemed to embolden the residents of the house. After that, violence at the house increased. Police were called to the house after Pazuzu choked his own mother, and multiple assaults of other people followed over the next few years. In September of 2010, Joseph Chandler, who was legally blind, was shot and killed, and the investigation led to Pazuzu and another man named Nicholas Rizzi. The men told investigators that they had picked Joseph up and given him a ride, and that the shooting was accidental. They allegedly took Joseph to a nearby river and were hanging out, and at some point, Nick got a gun and Joseph ended up dead. I can only assume that investigators weren't able to prove that the murder was premeditated, but most people believe it was absolutely intentional. Nicholas ended up pleading guilty to involuntary manslaughter and was sentenced to 13 months in prison. Pazuzu was charged with accessory after the fact. Before Pazuzu went to court, he was required to undergo a psychiatric evaluation. During the evaluation, he admitted to not having bathed in over a year, to have filed his teeth into points, and that he didn't work due to severe anxiety. He also told the doctor that he and his wife, he's referring to Amber Birch and they're not legally married, are the only practitioners of the Sumerian religion. He said that every month he needed to sacrifice a goat in order to not increase his anxiety. He was then diagnosed with agoraphobia and schizotypal personality disorder, and the doctor recommended that mental health and substance abuse treatment be made a mandatory part of his supervised release plan. After that, Pazuzu pleaded guilty to the charges and received a suspended sentence and 5 years probation. None of the psychiatrist's recommendations were implemented. Years went by before authorities in Clemens finally got another warrant to search Pazuzu's house. This time, it was apparent immediately that something in the house was not right. The inside of the house was just as bad as people described. There was garbage everywhere, along with human waste, dead animals, and blood. In the backyard, there were multiple areas with disturbed earth, and when investigators started digging, they quickly found the human remains that everybody had claimed were there. That wasn't the end of the search, though, because investigators digging in a different area also uncovered human remains. After the backyard was thoroughly searched, the remains of two different people were found buried there. Those bodies were eventually identified as Josh Wetzler and Tommy Welch. Tommy Welch was an average guy who lived in the area. He was employed part-time and, like many other people in the area, struggled to get by. In October of 2009, 3 months after Josh disappeared, Tommy was walking to meet his brother when Pazuzu and Amber approached him and he was never seen again. The medical examiner reported that Tommy had been shot once in the back of the head, and Josh had been shot 3 times in the head and at least 4 times in the chest. Pazuzu and Amber were arrested at the time of the discovery, and Crystal was arrested later. Because of Pazuzu's claims of worshipping Satan, the media went wild with speculation. They reported that he sacrificed animals and ate their hearts. They reported that he once picked up 2 different sex workers, then killed and ate them. His body count rose to the dozens. None of the information was confirmed, but it was sensational, so the media ran with it. At the same time, the house Pazuzu lived in was condemned and his mother Cynthia was forced to leave. It may not seem unbelievable, but Pazuzu didn't own his own home. He lived with his mother at her home. People that knew his family said Cynthia spoiled her son and it clearly got to the point where he was completely out of control. Later, it would be revealed that Cynthia was present for Josh's murder and then just went to work afterward like nothing had happened. It's unclear if she was complicit in her son's behavior or scared of him, but after the arrest of Pazuzu, Cynthia lost her house and dropped out of the spotlight. The house was demolished in April of 2015. On the morning of October 28, 2015, John Lawson, aka Pazuzu Algarad, was found dead in his cell at Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina. He used an unknown instrument to cut his left arm and bled to death. Prison officials said they didn't know what he had used to cut himself despite him being alone in a small prison cell. Amber Birch had been arrested along with Pazuzu and was charged with the murder of Tommy Welch and for being an accessory in the murder of Josh Wetzler. She pleaded guilty to those charges and was sentenced to 30 to 39 years in prison. Crystal Matlock pleaded guilty to conspiracy to accessory to after-the-fact first-degree murder for helping to bury Josh's body. She was sentenced to 3 to 5 years in prison. She was released in May of 2019. John Lawson did everything he could to live outside of society and shock the world, but despite that, he ended up being just like every other person I cover. Another selfish monster who destroyed lives before taking his own.
If you're the victim of domestic abuse, please reach out to someone for help. Please talk to your local shelter or call the National Domestic Abuse Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233, or you can go to thehotline.org to chat with someone online. This website is set up so that, at any time, hitting the escape key twice will take you to a Google search page. That way, if your abuser is nearby, you won't get caught seeking help. If you're having feelings of harming yourself or someone else, or even just need someone to talk to, please contact your local mental health facility. Call 911 or call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline by simply dialing 988 in the United States. They're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and will talk to you about any mental health issue you may be facing. If you are a member of the LGBTQ+ community and suffering from discrimination, depression, or are in need of any support, please contact the LGBT National Hotline at 1-888-843-4564 or go to lgbthotline.org. Thanks so much for letting me tell you this story. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on whatever platform you're on, hit like, rate us, or leave us a comment. You can check out our other show, Somewhere Sinister, on YouTube or anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to support the show, check out our merchandise at thisismonsters.com. The link is in the description. Thanks again, and be safe.